Testing in house chamber, day 151.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Shepherd. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Shepherd.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you today for your blessings and all that you do for us each and every day that we may take for granted. God, we pray a special prayer today for Senator Kay Hagan's family. We pray, God, that you'll provide them with grace that they need during this time. God, we thank you for your love, your peace, and your joy that you bestow upon each one of us. God, I pray a special prayer today for each member of the General Assembly, their families, and our staff here, and all that they do. God, we pray that you'll protect them, be with them, and guide and direct each one of us. God, we pray for our president, our Congress today, and all the leaders of this nation. God, we also pray for our military men and women and law enforcement and our first responders. God, help us to never take for granted this beautiful nation that we live in and the blessings that we receive by being here. God, we thank you for that. We also thank you for being able to be a part of the most wonderful state in the Union. God, I am blessed to know that I'm a Tar Heel today. God, I pray that you'll bless this session today. Give us wisdom and guidance in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 28th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for October 28th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis rules calendar operations of the House committee report. House Bill 852, Historic School Preservation Act, favorable.
Counterfeit Rule 36B for tomorrow. Messages from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of conferees for Senate Bill 522, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to align the selection of innovative schools with those identified by the State Board of Education for comprehensive support and improvement, to expand options for the innovative school district, to require local boards of education to inform boards of county commissioners of academic progress, to require further study to reform for assistance in low-performing schools, to eliminate the cap on local boards of education that can participate in the Advanced Teaching Roles pilot program, and to exempt advanced teaching role schools from class size requirements. When appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
House Bill 231, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act consistent with the House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session, to appropriate funds to improve legislatively mandated salary increases to employees of the University of North Carolina system and the North Carolina Community College system, and to provide one-time cost of living supplements for required retirees of the teachers and state employee retirement system, to consolidate judicial requirement system and legislative requirement system for concurrence, and the City Committee Substitute Number 2.
Calendar for tomorrow.
House 3377, Senate Committee Substitute, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to ensure teachers, instructional support personnel, and assistant principals receive salary increases based on years of experience, to authorize salary supplements for highly qualified North Carolina teaching graduates, and consistent with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session, to appropriate funds to improve legislatively mandated salary increases for principals for concurrence to the Senate Committee Substitute.
Calendar for tomorrow. Representative Yarbrough is recognized, sent forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
House Bill 181, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve a difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on House Bill 181, a bill to be entitled an act to repeal annexation of a certain prescribed territory into the town of Yanceyville prior to the effective date of that annexation. Senate Finance Committee substitute adopt 10-119. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report October 29, 2019. Conference from the Senate, Senator Berger, Chair, Senators Gunn and Woodard. Conferees from the House of Representatives, Representative Yarborough, Chair, Representatives Howard, Hardister, and Conrad.
Chair rules the conference report is material, which constitutes the first reading. Pursuant to Rule 44D, the conference report is calendared for Wednesday. Speakers, at the request of the conference chair and without objection, the conference report for Senate Bill 315, North Carolina Farm Act of 2019, is withdrawn from the calendar. 36B returned to the conference committee. Representative Lewis recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the conference report for Senate Bill 559, Storm Securitization Alternate Rates, be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House and returned to the conference committee.
Without objection, so ordered. Mr. Clerk, Chair appoints the following conferees to House Bill 470, Administration of Justice Changes. Conferees, Representative Stevens, Chair. Members, Representative Richardson, Representative Bowles, Representative Destin Hall. Senate will be so notified. Calendar, Senate Bill 522. The clerk will read.
Senator Tillman, Senate Bill 522, Lower Performance School and Advanced Teaching Roles, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognized for motion.
I make a motion that we adopt the conference report.
The gentleman has moved the House to adopt the conference report, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would say that this bill has, the process has worked on this. What you see in front of you is a better quality bill than what this started out in the beginning. The conference committee has worked via email meetings in consultation with State Board of Education, DPI, also with the governor's office to determine the best way to approach this. Changes that were requested were put into the bill to deal with the process itself. The state board is meeting next week, and they're waiting on this bill to pass, because if this does not pass, it would be under the current ISD system, which this makes necessary changes to, and they would have to make selection of four schools next week. So this is a little time sensitive because of that meeting taking place next week, and I would appreciate your positive vote on the adoption of the conference report.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the conference report.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I do appreciate a number of the things that Representative Elmore said about trying to work through this process and try and find a less punitive way to go ahead with the ISD. But the innovative school district still remains all carrot, all stick and no carrot. It's the same problems that we identified when we started with ISD. And as we've seen this year with the one school that is in the program, the takeover has really done more harm than good. And so I remain concerned about advancing this very limited approach to targeting low-performing schools with vulnerable children and now putting them into a system where they will have 3 years of the stick hanging over their head of get better, get better, get better with no actual supports in place to help them. We have over 400 low-performing schools in this state with no real plan for how to address those. That's what we should be focusing on, rather than tinkering one school at a time. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
To debate the conference report.
The lady has the floor.
Well, fellow members, I know we all agree that strong public schools are essential to North Carolina's future prosperity. And we recognize that we must work to turn the tide for our lowest performing schools. These schools need additional supports and resources to be able to improve student performance. This conference report still falls way short. I know we can do better. You'll recall that more than a decade, DPI had a division called the Division of District and School Transformation, focused on the turnaround of low-performing schools. Coaches and resources were deployed, and the outcomes were positive. But the $8 million in budget cuts to DPI in 2017-18 effectively decimated this program. When we began discussing the urgency that we revise this program now, or as I would prefer, completely change it or effectively end it, I hoped we would at least provide additional resources to DPI and to any effective schools, local district, and change the selection criteria we're using for the schools to be placed on the watch list. So I'm very disappointed that we are not implementing better interventions for our most needy schools while we have this opportunity before us, at least until we have the will to replace this program with something that would truly work. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise?
To debate the conference report.
The gentleman has the floor.
I rise again, fellow legislators, to speak against this entire bill, and in addition to the conference report. Again, I live in a county where ISD came to take over a low-performing school. This is, again, probably one of the most devastating processes that you can find yourself going through. As a sitting school board member, I was relatively helpless to watch them come in and try to make a case for coming in and taking over a school that they were themselves not equipped to run. The process allows the state to come in and take over the school, and if they don't make improvements, they just give the school back to the school system. Who does that? You have you can use an example of a abused child being abused by a parent and the child needing some special help. The Department of Social Services comes in and they take the child away from the home. And if they're not able to help them, well, we're just going to give the child back to this abusive parent. Think about that for just a minute. That makes no sense whatsoever. We also have a bill that has no teeth in it. As I said before, this bill allows ISD to come in and remove the administrative staff, remove teachers, but it does nothing to the person who is really responsible for that school, and that's the superintendent. The superintendent is allowed to keep his or her $250,000 a year salary. This bill has no real intent of changing anything. So what we were able to do in Wayne County, we were able to get ISD to come on back to Raleigh. We restarted that school. That school has now shown some of the most tremendous growth in the entire county because we gave it the resources that it need. So this whole ISD process is a sham. We need to do something about it. We need to do away with it altogether. And I personally will not support it. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise?
To debate the bill or the conference report.
Gentleman has four.
Mr. Speaker, members, I rise to beg this group, this body, to put this report back in committee and let's do what we all know we need to do, and that's fix our school system. I had a teacher, I've had a coach that preached to me over and over, you put a mediocre effort into something, you're going to get a mediocre result. You put a poor effort into it, you're going to get a poor result. Why shouldn't we have a legislative replacement committee to replace the poor performance of a legislature that can't even get a budget done? You know, doing a replacement group for a school system is not the solution. The solution here is to fix our problem, and our problem is very simple. We are not putting a superior effort into our children. The most important thing we can do as a General Assembly is to fix our school system. In the era of an information age, we are letting our schools fail. We're under the throes of a lawsuit that's going to force us to spend billions of dollars and probably spend them wrongly because we won't fix the problem. If there was ever an opportunity to fix a problem, it is here right now with these low-performing schools. We're not doing it. We're not putting excellent teachers there. We all know that's what will fix the problem. We're not putting excellent principals there. We all know that's what will fix the problem. We don't have the political will to spend the capital and the money to do what we ought to do. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Let's fix this. Let's put it back in committee. And for once, let's do something excellent. Let's dedicate ourselves to having a top five school system in the country and making North Carolina go into the next century as a leader in business, in an economy, and in quality of life. The way you do that is have a top five school system. This is not the solution.
For what purpose does the lady from Cabarrus, Representative Johnson, rise?
To speak on the conference report.
Lady has the floor.
I don't think anybody wants to do this less than I do. I'm not a real big supporter of this program, but I am a supporter of finding solutions for problems. This is a conference report, and if you can remember between this debate and what Elmore said, we came in and adjusted this program through this conference report. DPI, which was our superintendent, came, and we had someone from the board, someone from the Senate, someone from the House, and someone that was a Republican and some that were a Democrat. This is the solution we came up with. If you would like to, I don't believe anyone entered a bill to fix this problem this year in the General Assembly, but I would appreciate your support for this conference report.
For what purpose, gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
I too am not the biggest fan of this type of thing. However, I don't recall any of the bill numbers of any of the competing bills that had competing ideas that could have been submitted all year that were not. Prior to this program being implemented, what was being done in the schools? What was being done in the poor performing schools? Little to nothing. Absolutely nothing. The schools were year after year. This is the same conversation we had a couple years ago when we started this program. Year after year, the schools continued to be low performing and nothing was done. And we're losing students every year to low performing schools. What's the answer? I don't know. But those of you that do have the answers, and apparently some of you do because you object to what we have here, and those bills should have been filed with your suggestions, with your answers, and we should have been debating them as well. But since they weren't filed, and they weren't, you weren't focusing on that, now at the 11th hour, we're sitting here debating a bill, and you're saying, no, we can do better. Well, maybe we can do better, and we should do better. We should be doing the very best that we absolutely can. This is just an attempt. This is just trying to do something better. When we come back next year, hopefully there will be a slew of bills from everybody that opposed this one with their ideas on how to fix the school system, which we all know is broken. We're losing kids. We're not in this battle with the rest of the country in a lot of cases. And there's many problems with the school system, and it's not all on the teachers. Some of it is on us. Some of it is on us for things that we keep throwing on the school systems to do that they shouldn't be doing, that they should be teaching the kids how to read and write, and there's not enough time for that anymore. There's a million things that we could be doing. There's a million ideas out there. They need to be put together in a bill and debated in this forum here. But this is what we have right now, and this is a step towards achieving what we want to achieve. And I hope next year to see a whole slew of bills with ideas on how to fix our school system. And I hope to see a whole bunch of teachers up here giving us their ideas on how to fix it. Instead of complaining about everything, I want to hear them tell us what they think the solutions are. We're here to fix things. We're here to make it better. This is one way to do it, and I ask for your support on it until next year when you come in with your bills and present them to us.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brockman, rise?
To briefly speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
First, I would like to thank the Speaker and the members of the committee for allowing me to work on this bill in committee. I will be brief. And what I will say is I'll point out the comments that the gentleman from Wayne County made, Representative Smith, my dear friend, who told us what his school and his district did so they could avoid being on the ISD. That school did everything in their power so they would not be chosen for the ISD, which is exactly the point of the ISD. In North Carolina, we had over 100 schools start restart programs, so they could not be chosen for the ISD program. That's exactly the purpose of the ISD, is what, not necessarily the ISD, but what all the school systems and what all the schools are going to do so they can avoid being on the ISD program. And I really appreciate the changes that were made. I think they make a lot more sense, and they really streamline the process. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To speak on the report.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, a little history. We used to have a program called Smart Start that was fully funded, early childhood education. The research on that's been clear for 50 years or more. And the Absiderian project that was done at UNC is... We followed those youth for 40 years, and they were all successful. We know how to do this. It's to start early, waiting until third grade. Waiting until first grade is really too late. So we need to put more money. Even you all, I think, had a report from the research division that came up, back with the same results. Let's do early childhood education. We used to have a teacher assistants in our K through 3 that lowered the class size. I think the test scores now are actually lower than they were back in those days. So we've gone backwards. So we know the answer. These ISD school systems are not the answer. It takes money to do that. It actually takes revenue in order to support those services. You can't do it on the cheap. But we save money in the long run because we educate people who then can grow up and have good jobs and put money back into the community by buying goods and services. It stimulates our economy when you have an educated workforce. We need to start. We know the answer, and we need to do it right.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise.
Speak briefly on the conference report.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask my colleagues to join those of the rest of us who are going to support the conference report, not because it's a complete solution to any problem or a final action by the legislature, but that it is an effort to address a problem that has existed in North Carolina for probably 40, 50 years. The other thing that I would add is that we need to continue working on this issue. This House, earlier in May of this year, May the 2nd to be precise, I think, passed with only two dissenting votes, House Bill 895, co-sponsored by Representative Horn, Representative Brockman, Representative Meyer, and myself. It's been sitting in the Senate since May the 6th in the Senate Rules Committee. That legislation would establish a task force to work on the very issues of the opportunity gap that exists for so many students who are stuck in these schools that are not doing the job for them that is needed. I mention that only by way of saying to my colleagues that in addition to my hoping you will vote for this conference report as at least a partial effort to address the problem, that you will also make a point to speak to your senator and to ask the Senate to do something. They should enact House Bill 895 and send it back to us. Thank you.
For what purpose, Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith Rice?
I'd like to make a motion.
The gentleman may state his motion, first of all.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to send this back to the conference committee for additional input.
The motion would be in order. The chair recognizes the gentleman for the motion that the bill be returned to the conference committee. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Yes, it was stated that no amendments to bills, no bills were filed, and all these things about the this particular bill. However, as Representative Brockman just so stated in calling me out about the difference that we've made in Wayne County with what we did, I'd like to also reference the fact that Representative Brockman was invited to the conference committee. I was not. It seems as though only those people who agree with it were invited to that committee. So I'd like to see if we could have some more input outside of those individuals who agree with the bill so that we can have some additional input put in there.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore Rice?
To speak to the representative's motion.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you not to support the motion. This bill has been through committee where there was an opportunity to make changes. This bill has been to the floor where there was opportunities to make changes. This bill has been over to the Senate. It has went through the process, and the outside stakeholders that were involved in the process, from the governor's education advisor to state board members themselves to DPI, DPI advisors, the membership, we have consulted to make this into what it is. I mean, it is what it is at this point. If no action is taken on this and it's referred back to the conference committee, the State Board of Education next week has to vote, automatically put in four schools to the ISD by the former law. So without changes to the current law, that's is what is going to have to take place next week. So as Representative Blackwell was referring, this kind of stuff is always a work in progress. At this point in time, I think that this is a good quality conference report that needs to move forward, and is something that I've taught school for 19 years, and as he was saying, a 40 to 50 year problem with low performing schools. Folks, it's always going to be something that we're going to have to look at. We're going to have to look at innovative ways. We're going to have to look at different ways to approach. So you have to think of this in terms of where we're at now with this and what needs to happen. So I would urge you to not support the representative's motion to re-refer to the conference committee.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brockman Rice?
To ask the gentleman from Wayne County a question.
Representative Smith, gentleman yield.
I yield.
He yields.
First, Representative Smith, let me apologize. If you were offended by any of my statements on the floor, I would like to personally apologize to you. But my question is, do you remember the email I sent the entire Democratic caucus about two or three weeks ago that was asking for input on this bill in the for the conference committee? Do you remember that email?
Yes. Do you remember the numerous conversations that you and I have had with regard to my discontent with this and the input that I gave you about what I would like to see since I knew you were on the conference committee? You remember that?
Yes, but not.
Okay. So it was additional question. Gentleman yield. Representative Smith, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields.
No, I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Representative Smith.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House is the adoption of the motion by Representative Smith that the conference report be recommitted to the conference committee. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 41 having voted in the affirmative and 70 in the negative. The motion fails. We're now on the back on the motion. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
I apologize. Could I be recorded as an aye on that motion, please?
Thank the lady you. Will be recorded as having voted aye on the motion to re-refer. For what purpose the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, rise?
I was with Representative Harrison there. I'd like to be recorded as aye.
Representative Adcock, were you with them as well?
Make it three.
All right.
Thank you.
Representative Turner of Buncombe, Representative Adcock, to be voted as counted as an aye. Mr. Clerk, on that motion to re-refer.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, aye?
Same.
It's like some of those from the western part of the state over there.
Aye.
Lady will be recorded as having voted aye on the motion to re-refer. For what purpose, the same thing, Representative Insko? And the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, Mr. Clerk, will also be recorded as having voted aye on the motion to re-refer. Further discussion, further debate on the motion to adopt the conference report? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Is Representative Galliard on the floor? Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative and 48 having voted in the negative. The conference report is adopted and the Senate will be so notified. Representative Cleveland is recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read. Excuse me, a conference report. Clerk will read.
Senate Bill 250 to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appoint to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on Senate Bill 250, a bill to maintain an act to codify the common law requirements for the United States citizenship and quality as juror, to allow clerk of court to hear jury excuses if so designated by the Chief District Court Judge, and to provide that the names and addresses of persons requesting to be excused from jury duty based on disqualifications shall be shared with the State Board of Elections if the disqualifications is due to United States citizenship. House Committee Substitute Favorable 62719. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 82019. House Committee Substitute Number 3 Favorable 10119. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report, October 29, 2019. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Krawick, Chair, Senators Sanderson, Bergen, and Daniels. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Cleveland, Chair, Representative Stevens, and Warren.
Counter percent rule 44D, and we'll count it for tomorrow. This point. Representative Howard is recognized to send forth a conference report. Clerk will read.
Senate Bill 559 to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 559, a bill to be entitled an act to permit financing for certain storm recovery costs and to require the Utilities Commission to study and use multi-year rate plan and banning of authorized return mechanisms for rate setting for electric public utilities. House Committee Substitute Favorable 61919. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 7819. Fifth Edition Engrossed 82019. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report October 29th, 2019. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Raven, Chair, Senators Heiss, Blue, Fitch, and Newton. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Howard, Chair, Representatives Lewis, Floyd, Bumgardner, Strickland, and Bell.
Counter percent rule 44D. Representative Howard, did the lady have a request when she wanted calendar?
As soon as the speaker is ready, we'll be ready.
If it can be countered today, is there any objection to the bill being countered for today?
Objection.
Having been objected to, Representative Hawkins, we can either revisit that or Chair will tentatively calendar for tomorrow. If the lady wishes to make a motion later, the lady's certainly welcome to do so. Senate Bill 683, the clerk will read.
Senators Daniel, McKissick, and Heiss, Senate Bill 683, a bill to entitled Combat Absentee Ballot Fraud, General Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adopt the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 683.
Gentleman has moved the adoption of the conference report. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this conference report addresses absentee ballot fraud while restoring the last Saturday of early voting, both of which have had overwhelming bipartisan support in both chambers. In light of some of the issues that occurred in 2018, this General Assembly is committed to ending absentee ballot fraud and making our elections more secure. This bill contains election-specific absentee request forms. Forms must be completed and returned by the voter, near relative or legal guardian, not by a harvester or an outside group. This does close loopholes in identification on forms by requiring every absentee ballot request to have a photo ID, a North Carolina driver's license number, or the last four of a Social Security number. It makes it illegal to sell or attempt to sell, purchase or attempt to purchase a completed request form, completed absentee request form, or a voted absentee ballot. It restores early voting on the last Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It also prohibits partisan discrimination of the selection of early voting sites. I will tell you that, to the best of my knowledge, the issues that were of concern to this chamber were addressed. I think this is a good bill. I think this bill should have broad support, and I would urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 683. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Howard, how would the lady like to be recorded? Howard, aye. Mr. Clerk. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and one of the negative, the conference report to Senate Bill 683 is adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. For our purposes, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise. For our purpose, gentlemen from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To remove my objection from the previous bill.
On the conference report?
On the conference report, yes, sir.
What was that bill number? The chair inquired earlier about if there was objection to the conference report for Senate Bill 559 being added to today's calendar, and I believe Representative Hawkins is the member who objected. The gentleman has now withdrawn his objection. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've had a chance to speak to those who are in the conference committee, and I feel comfortable about moving forward.
Okay. Any other members have any objection to the bill being the conference report being added to the calendar?
Mr. Speaker, would you mind repeating the number, please?
It's Senate Bill 559, short title Storm Securitization. If any member wants to object, they're certainly free to do so. Hearing no objection, the bill be added to today's calendar.
And members, the chair, Representative Cleveland had a conference report the gentleman sent forward and informs the chair that that's not a, no longer a controversial bill. We'll see, I guess, but we may come back and see about adding that to the calendar if the body wants to. A George Cleveland non-controversial bill. I'm just kind of a, we're going to dispose with the other bill that's been added to the calendar. Senate Bill 559, the clerk will read.
Senators Rabin, Heiss, and Blue. Senate Bill 559, a bill to be entitled Storm Securitization, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adopt the conference report on 559.
The lady has moved the House to adopt the conference report, Senate Bill 559, and the lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill has been around for a while, and I'm going to just start with one little quote that a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth wakes up and puts its pants on and starts to react. And that's sort of where we've been with this bill. The only thing that is currently in the report is the storm securitization. And I think that it's past time that we get this enacted, because this is going to save all of your customers for Duke Energy between 15% and 20% of their monthly electric bill. I am of the opinion that we certainly need to do that before we leave here. That by far is the right thing to do. I'm still convinced that the other portion of the bill was good, and you will see it come back someday. It may be a year, 2 years, but you will see it come back, because it is the right thing to do, to plan for the future and have the opportunity, allow the utilities to have the opportunity to do just that, to plan for the future instead of paying in retrospect. But that's not today. So for all the folks who stood strong on the bill all the way through, I thank you. I think you were right. Time will only prove that, but for today we are voting for the ratepayers of the utilities that will save between 15% and 20%. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask for the support for the conference report.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
To speak on the conference report.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As Representative Howard has alluded, this bill has been bantering back and forth for quite some time now, and as it has circulated in this chamber and also in the other chamber, it's had many, many births and deaths. Storm securitization is something that we really ought to take a close look at, and since that's going to be the impetus of this conference report, I would hope that you would vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, rise?
To debate the conference report. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with Representative Howard. I don't have a heart attack. And much of what you said, that the storm securitization left in the bill is good. It's good for the power companies, but it's very good for ratepayers. And I also agree with Representative Howard that we do need to look to the future, and I look forward to working with her and anyone else who, in future meetings or assemblies or whatever we have, is willing to work on looking at all approaches to make the rate-making system that we have better for ratepayers and for our friends in the power industry. Please vote green.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Strickland, rise?
To debate the conference report.
Gentleman has the floor.
I believe today is a great day for the ratepayers of North Carolina. I concur with Representative Howard that this bill, as presented to the chamber today, is a good bill. We'll in the future discuss what Section 2 was all about, but today I urge my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to embrace this bill, support this bill, and hit the green button.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To briefly debate the conference report.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to repeat everything that's been said. I appreciate the fact that this does no longer contain Section 2, because I do think that deserved more review. But I did want to raise a point about the storm securitization language. Other states who have enacted this have used it to cover also the closing of uneconomical coal-fired power plants. And I think it would be great at some point if we could expand this to include that. But at this point, I'll vote yes and thank everyone for their work on this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 559. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, one of the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 559 is adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. Members, the other bill the chair inquired about was Senate Bill 250. This was Representative Cleveland's bill, the short title, Remove Foreign Citizens from Voting Rolls. Representative Cleveland tells the chair he thinks it may have been amended to where members may not object being added to the calendar, but any members who would intend to object?
Objection, please.
All right. So I think we'll leave it for tomorrow. For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I was still fuming over the previous versions of the bill and voted red inadvertently. Can I change my vote to green, please?
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 559. Mr. Clerk, Chair appoints the following conferees to Senate Bill 433, this short title, Miscellaneous Agency Request. Representative McElraft, Chair. Members, Representative Cowhall, Representative McGrady. Senate will be so notified. Notices and announcements. Actually, before we do that, we'll do notice the announcements just a moment. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
I rise to congratulate the North Carolina Courage and Coach Paul Riley for their second straight National Women's Soccer League championship. This was also their third championship in the last 4 years. The Courage dominated in Sunday's championship match with a score of 4-0, and the MVP of the game was Courage's Dabina Miri. I'd like to especially congratulate the four members of the team who were also World Cup champions of the 2019 U.S. Women's National Team, Crystal Dunn, Sam Mewis, Abby Dahl-Kemper, and Jessica McDonald. And of course, I'd like to give a shout out to Heather O'Reilly, who has won 3 Olympic gold medals and a World Cup, and is retiring after this championship season. I'm so glad that our community here in the Triangle has embraced this team, and I look forward to next season. Congratulations, NC Courage. Thank you.
Members, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery on motion of the 2 members from Surrey County, Representative Stevens and Representative Cal Hall, to a group of students who are here from Copeland Elementary School from Surrey County. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. And this is Representative Stevens, and that's Representative Hall. Those are your 2 members there, Surrey County. Chair strikes the earlier motion on Senate Bill 433. Now the clerk is recognized for a message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message from the Senate on October 8, 2019, informing the House of Representatives that the Senate failed to concur with Senate Bill 433, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the statutes governing the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and to remove certain land from the State Nature and Historic Preserve as recommended by the Department and to make additional certain reports to the North Carolina Policy Collaboratory to the General Assembly to clarify certain appropriations in the 2018 Hurricane Florence Disaster Recovery Act to correct the effective date and to repeal to replace the act providing for emergency operating funds for utilities. The President Pro Tem appoints Senator Berger Chair, Senators Wells, Sanderson, and Brown on the part of the Senate to confer with the like committee appointed by the honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Mr. Clerk, Chair appoints conferees to that same bill, Senate 433. Those are Representative McElrath, Chair, members Representative Cal Hall, Representative McGrady. Senate will be so notified now. For what purpose, the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, rise?
To make an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor.
Members of the House, the Finance Committee will meet in the morning at 9 o'clock in room 544, and there will be one bill, and that will be Senate Bill 557. And this afternoon, you will get a summary of that bill and also a copy of the fiscal note. 9 o'clock.
For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to acknowledge the passing of a former United States Congressman, John Conyers, who passed Sunday at the age of 90. He was the longest serving African American member of Congress and served from 1965 to 2017, and he was from Michigan. He served in the Korean War, and he was a very, very active civil rights leader. And he was co-founder of the Congressional Black Caucus, along with Shirley Chisholm, Charlie Rangel, and 12 others. He spent 16 years trying to establish the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And of course, that was done in 1986. He submitted several bills on reparation for African American slaves and single payer health care and other legislation, but he was really well known and received the International Civil Rights Walk of Fame Award. And today I wanted to acknowledge and memorialize his death. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to today
ask you to join me in saying congratulations to my seatmate who has a birthday. He's only a few years old. You can tell by looking at him, but he has a birthday today. And so happy birthday to Representative Hardister.
For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement to the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and will let my comments from yesterday suffice about Senator Hagan.
Chair directs that the lady is recognized for that, and the chair directs the representative statement be read upon adjournment and spread across the journal. The lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege. If no, okay. Any further notice of announcements? For what purpose? The gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
There is already a notice out for an appropriations meeting tomorrow morning, 6:43 at 10, and the bills will be listed and circulated later this afternoon and evening.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, October 30th at 2 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Howard, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, October 30th at 2 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. I suppose no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Reading of a representative statement and two special messages from the Senate will be noted.
A representative statement honoring the life and memory of Kay Hagan. Whereas Kay Hagan was born on May 26, 1953 in Shelby, North Carolina to Joseph P. Rutherford and Jeanette Charles Rutherford. And whereas Kay Hagan grew up in Lakeland, Florida and received a BA degree in American Studies from Florida State University in 1975 and a JD degree from Wake Forest University School of Law in 1978. And whereas Kay Hagan made a life in the city of Goldsboro with a family where she worked as a bank executive for a number of years. And whereas Kay Hagan was active in her community and served as a member of numerous organizations, including the University of North Carolina Board of Visitors, the North Carolina Film Council, North Carolina Family Impact Seminars Advisory Board, and whereas Kay Hagan represented the citizens of Guilford County with honor and distinction in the North Carolina General Assembly as a member of the Senate from 1999 to 2009, and whereas during her tenure in the General Assembly, Senator Hagan served as co-chair of the Pensions Retirement Agent Committee, advisory member of the Appropriations-Based Budget Committee, and as a member of the Commerce, Small Business, Entrepreneurship, Education, Public Instruction, Finance, and Healthcare Committees, and whereas Kay Hagan went on to serve for one term in Congress as a member of the Senate from 2009 to 2015, and whereas Kay Hagan was named the Champion of the Arts in 2007 and given a Citizenship Service Award in 2005, and whereas Kay Hagan was respected, admired, and loved by those who knew her and had the privilege to work with her, and whereas Kay Hagan passed away on October 28, 2019 at the age of 66, leaving her husband Chip Tilden Hagan, three children, Jeanette Hagan, C. Tilden Hagan IV, and Carrie Hagen Stewart, her father, Joe P. Ruthven, her brother, Joe L. and Greg Ruthven, and five grandchildren to mourn her loss. Now, therefore, it is fitting to honor the life and memory of Kay Hagen and express appreciation for the service she rendered her community and state. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 29th day of October, 2019, submitted by Representative Clemens, James White, House Principal Clerk. Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate reconsider the vote taken on October the 2nd, 2019, on the report of the conferees of Senate Bill 559, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, the bill to be entitled an act to permit financing for certain storm recovery costs and to require the Utilities Commission to study the use of multi-year rate plan and band of authorized return mechanism for rate setting in electric public utilities. The conference committee substitute was subsequently withdrawn. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopt the report of the conference of Senate Bill 683, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the laws governing mail-in absentee ballots to restore the last Saturday of every one-stop voting, to extend the time in which the County Board of Elections need to replace direct record electronic voting equipment under certain conditions, to authorize the county to test new voting equipment during the simulated election, and to make appropriations for current operations of the State Board of Elections, consistent with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session. When appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
The following special message is noted. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 29th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 432, House Committee Substitute Number 3, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to establish a licensure process and annual license fee for birth centers and to establish standards and criteria for the regulation and licensure of pharmacy benefit managers providing claims processing services or other prescription drug or device services for health benefit plans to prevent insurers from requiring insured to take drugs with black box warnings and to require insurers to provide coverage for prescription drugs during the pre-authorization process and requests conferees. The President pro tempore appoints Senator Heiss Chair, Senator Krawick, Bergen, Perry, and Ballard on the part of the Senate to confer with a like committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate.